I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it. This is the Your Kick-Ass Life podcast, episode 41, with guest Katie Teese. Any resources and links that you hear in this episode can be found at yourkickasslife.com/41.
This is the Your Kick-Ass Life podcast with Andrea Owen, a no BS guide to self-help and badassery. Because ladies, let's face it, life's too short for it to not kick ass. And here's your host, the girl who serves it up straight with a side of crazy, Andrea Owen.
Hey there, ass kickers. Andrea Owen here, introducing you to a new guest that I have. And this is someone that I met when I was at my training over the summer with Brené Brown and her senior faculty, becoming certified in the Daring Way. So let me tell you a little bit more about this upcoming guest. Her name is Katie Teese, also known as the Imperfectionista. How awesome is that? Katie is a life coach that runs online and in-person creative experiential coaching workshops. She works with big-hearted, curious souls who want to learn, laugh, and love. She pushes people to discover new things about themselves and how they relate to others using creative exercise, movement explorations, and play. Katie specializes in work with recovering perfectionists and codependents. She believes imperfection is real, authentic, and shockingly beautiful. So without further ado, this is the episode with Katie. Hey there, ass kickers. Welcome to the Your Kick-Ass Life podcast, episode 41. I'm Andrea Owen, and if I sound a little bit like Demi Moore over here with my raspy voice, it's because I am not feeling well. I'm actually on the upswing now from this cold that I think it's my first one of the year, so I am blessed in that respect. I'm so excited to bring you this episode, my guest, because it's the first time that I am talking to y'all about this work that I've told you about, and maybe you're sick of hearing it before, you know, or maybe you, it's the first time you're hearing it, but if you don't know, I went to a very powerful training over the summer in July of 2014 with Brené Brown and her senior faculty, and I am currently a certified Daring Way facilitator candidate getting my certification, and it was really an amazing training, and I met some amazing people there. One of the people that I met there was the wonderfully brilliant and a friend of mine, Katie Teese, who lives out in Arizona. So say hi, Katie.
Hello.
And I'm excited because it's the first person that I've had on my podcast who's also been trained in this work. So we're basically just going to talk shop for the next 30 minutes, you guys. I hope you're okay with that. But, you know, this work is really about courage. And as most of you know, that's where your kick-ass life is going, is really about practicing courage. And one of the things that I like to say a lot lately is let's all get comfortable practicing imperfection. Because I think in this culture, women, we are up against so many expectations that are impossible to achieve. And a lot of those expectations we put on ourselves, which is kind of crazy. And so that's what I'm excited to talk about. So let's get started. Katie, if you don't know this already, I like to sing badly.
I love it.
So feel free to break out into song.
Oh, we're going to have a musical theater episode here pretty soon. Yeah. I dance all the time.
That's what I'm just changing my podcast to. Yeah. Musical theater, song, and dance. Well, let me start with this because you know, I asked you to be on my podcast and I went over to your blog and like, what's this Katie up to? And I love that you wrote this post and it was like so hilarious and so real life and so relatable. So you wrote this post about your quest for the perfect black tank top. And there was a reason, you know, that you needed this black tank top and you were not able to find it and ended up giving yourself permission to find the black tank top that was good enough. So can you tell us the story and tell us, you know, what exactly you were giving yourself permission for? And I would love to even discuss with you this whole concept of giving us permission.
Yes. So this, is something that that I deal with, you know, embracing imperfection and, you know, living my authentic life all the time. And
well, that's too bad because none of my listeners deal with that. So
clearly I'm to the wrong audience here. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned earlier, I love to dance, get my boogie on, and I've been taking this dance class and started it earlier this year and was invited to do like a little filming. The instructor films so that she has a record of her dances and puts them up on YouTube. And we're planning what to wear, and the email goes out saying it's going to be black leggings and a black tank top.
Easy,
right? And the first thing that goes into my mind was, I don't have a black tank top. Uh-huh. And so I start feeling already like I'm on the back foot, something's wrong, I'm a little bit different. And I don't, you know, I didn't spend too much time in the moment focusing on that. And I went about my day, but I knew that I needed to get this black tank top. So what happened from then until the point that I could go to the store was I created a life-altering tank top. Like, this thing was going to be amazing. I thought about, you know, it's going to have these great seams that come down. It's going to be long enough so when I raise my arms up, it's not going to show, like, that little bit of skin.
It's going to make you look like you have the body of, like, Jennifer Aniston.
Of course.
When she put it on.
So I was not asking much of a piece of clothing at all. You know, this is completely, you know, in the realm of possibility for a tank top. And so I went after work and I only had like, you know, a couple hours to get something. And I went to, we have a shopping area here in Scottsdale where there are just a lot of like athletic wear stores. I went into every single store.
And you're like, talking like Lululemon. Do you guys have Lululemon, like an Athleta?
We have Athleta. We have Lucy. We have Lorna Jane, Calvin Klein, performance wear, of them. Nike. And I went into those stores. I went up to, like, a sales assistant right away and said, get me every black tank top.
How much time did you spend that night?
Oh, I was like, physically hot and sweaty just from the sheer effort of pulling those things on. I mean, if you have ever worn any, like, you know, performance athletic wear, it's like scuba gear. It suctions you in, and the effort of taking those on and off, like, it was ridiculous. Oh my God. The whole thing was ridiculous. But after all of that, none of them lived up to this, like, expectation I'd built up in my mind. So all of a sudden, I was in the store. I was exhausted.
and probably close to tears at that point.
Yes, literal tears were coming to my eyes. Like, those little prickles, you know, where you start to feel it's coming. Something's coming. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, all of a sudden, I was like, wait, if I'm starting to cry over a tank top, something else is going on here. So that's when I was starting to rewind and start looking at this. And then, you know, it dawned on me that it wasn't about this clothing. It was my feeling and my fear that I wasn't good enough. So mm-hmm. It took it back ultimately to, you know, to the shame, and where, you know, as Brené will say, where there's perfectionism, there is shame. And so it was this feeling of, you know, I wasn't good enough, and I was going to be dancing with some great dancers. And so I started going into that comparison, and somehow I let, you know, my mind kind of get away from me. And I had come up with this false belief that if somehow I could look perfect enough on the outside, then, you know, I would avoid making any mistakes. I would avoid, you know, any painful emotions. I would avoid judgment. Uh-huh. So I realized, and, you know, thank goodness that I've done all of this, you know, this amazing work so that I can apply it to my own life here, that I knew that, like, the next thing I needed to do was to talk about it, because I started to identify that shame creeping up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was able to get together with some friends that night and, you know, and share my story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to cut you off for a second, because I want to – this is such a great example and such a great real-life example of how this manifests for women. And it's a great example because you're talking about – well, and you and I both know, and now everyone else is going to know that's listening, that our physical appearance as women is our number one shame trigger.
Huge.
And that is – usually where perfectionism manifests for us. And I know a lot of it starts, you know, it's in our work, it's in our parenting, it's in our relationships, but a lot of the time it's in our physical appearance. So I love that you were talking about how you made up this story in your mind that if you had this perfect tank top and you looked perfect on video and in front of all of these people, that you would avoid, you said criticism, right?
Yeah, like being judged or, mm-hmm. you know, if I made a mistake, you know, yeah. that somehow it would protect me from...
Isn't it amazing? So it's like you made up in your mind, you know, just based on this video and this tank top, that if you had the perfect tank top and you looked perfect, that nobody would say anything, you know, or I should say this, people would say, wow, that Katie girl really did her dancing perfect. She has an amazing body. She must have a perfect life.
Exactly.
She must be an amazing coach.
Right. The tank top was going to save the world.
It's gonna solve your problems.
It was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, by doing that, then I could avoid any of the scary stuff, mm-hmm. you know? Like, what if I get it wrong? What if I make a mistake and it's on video and everyone's going to see it?
And everyone's going to be like, did you see that one girl? In the bad tank top?
In the bad tank top? She turned right when she was supposed to
turn left.
Did
you see her seams? And I know we make fun of it, but it's like, it's kind of crazy when you think about the conclusions that we come to over appearance, over clothing and things like that. And I want to point out one more thing too before you go on with your story is that you did something really, really important. So... And I'm going to take a guess here. I'm just going to start putting words in your mouth because I'm bossy on my podcast. That's what I do. In case you didn't know. Everyone's like, yeah, we know, Andrea. So I make up that the old Katie would have not told anybody and just like settled on a whatever tank top and been super upset about it and been nervous during the whole video, who would have seen the video and then criticized yourself in it and, you know, self-loathing rabbit hole, and you would have never told anybody about it. Or you may have not even showed up to the video.
Shown up, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say old Katie probably would have come up with an excuse why I couldn't make it. I got sick at the last minute. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, avoid that because,
totally avoid it.
You know, why put yourself out there with there's risk?
Yeah. Isolation is what it is. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal and that they won't already have, can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then a Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. Okay, so tell everybody what you did differently.
So instead of that, I have been so, you know, fortunate to experience this work of, you know, of the Daring Way and realize some of those physical symptoms, you know, that were coming up for me were triggers that clued me into I was, you know, going down into a little shame spiral. So I was able to talk to some friends about it, and I told them my story. And what came out when I talked about it was that, you know, I was afraid. I was afraid that, you know, I didn't have the right body or the right outfit. You know, I didn't already have the great black tank top hanging up in my closet. I had to go get one. And that it meant that I wasn't, you know, good enough. And so by exposing that, you know, those falsehoods, and it dissipated. It really helped. And then the next day, you know, I went not to one of the fancy athletic stores. I just went to, you know, my local Target.
Good old Target.
Good old Target.
I love it.
And picked up just, you know, your basic tank top. I didn't try on everyone in the store either. I just grabbed one.
It was probably like $9.99 versus a $50 Lulu tank top, right?
Exactly. Saved myself some money in the process. And, you know, it was fine. It did the job. And I gave myself permission, and I know you mentioned this earlier about the permission, just to, that it was okay. I said, if I make mistakes, I give myself permission to do that, you know, and I give myself permission to just have fun, to be scared and do it anyway.
I love that. Oh, so many good nuggets in the black tank top saga story of Katie Teese. Well, and I want to step back too and talk about, and just really reiterate what you did. And in this work, everybody listening, we call what Katie did speaking shame. So instead of not showing up to the video, or instead of showing up and hating everything the whole time, she told her friends. And that's really, you know, and what Brené teaches us is that it's called speaking shame, and you just tell your story. And that involves vulnerability. It does. And involves showing up in your life. But, you know, look at the alternative. The alternative clearly isn't working for you. And so, you know, if anybody reads my blog, you will remember maybe a story that I wrote a few months ago. I was in a meeting at my son's school, and they were reading some of his school records. My son's on the autism spectrum, and we were new to the school. You know, I don't really know these people very much, his teacher, principal, and special ed coordinator, and they're reading his school records. And I don't know if this was on purpose or if it was just something she was reading out loud. And she was like, you know, Colton's mother has a history of substance abuse and was diagnosed with anxiety disorder in 2003. And I was like, what the shit was just happened? And it was like total shame spiral. You know, I wanted to like interrupt them and tell them about my sobriety and like tell them who I am and what I do for a living. You know, I wanted to puff up, as Brené teaches us, you know, so, and the old me would have ran and hid, and never talked to my son's school teacher again, totally avoided the principal at all costs, isolating. And instead, what I did is I went home and I called my friend and I was like, this happened today and it was really hard and I felt really ashamed when it happened. So that's speaking shame. So that's what I'm getting at, you guys, is like, this is part of the work. This is part of the tools of the Daring Way. And, you know, Brené teaches us that shame can't exist when we talk about it. It can't exist in the light.
And never, I mean, ever. This is hard stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a continual practice. I mean, even as someone who, you know, I facilitate these groups and, you know, in my coaching, my work is with people who struggle with perfectionism, it's still hard work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It still is every day. And I say the same thing to people all the time. Like, perfectionism is my kryptonite as well. And I was really honest about it in my book, and I'm like, it was the last chapter that I wrote because it's that thing where I have to constantly walk my talk. I mean, I've come such great lengths, but still it's like, you know, when we talk about armor and like, what's the thing that you put on before you step into the arena? My number one is perfectionism and control. I have issues with control, but, let's talk about permission slips for a second, because you mentioned that you gave yourself permission to have fun at the video. And what else did you say you gave yourself permission to do?
To make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think the other one I said was to be scared and do it anyway.
Are y'all listening? Because I don't know what's up with me today. I'm feeling very ranty. Sorry, Katie, that you had to step into this. It just is like, every day we can give ourselves permission to do things of the simplest things. I give myself permission to not find the perfect tank top. I give myself permission to not say the right thing during this podcast. I give myself permission to, you know, like I do it all the time. Like at the same time when I am like asking the universe for things, you know, dear universe, please give me the wisdom and peace and ease that I need right now as I step into this coaching call or as I step into this conversation I'm about to have with my husband. Also, I give myself permission to be scared shitless.
One of the things I find with the permission slips is that they allow me to really accept where I'm at and let go of the feeling of where I think I should be,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I let go of that should.
So for all to hear it again.
So it allows me to accept where I'm at and let go of the feeling of should,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I should be feeling this, or I should be able to, you know, speak articulately this. Or mm-hmm. get past that. In reality, accept where I'm at. I might stumble on my words or make a mistake or say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, giving myself permission really, it's a piece of acceptance. And I think there's also some intention setting with it that it's
for
like,
sure, energetically.
Yeah.
I agree. I think too, permission slips. I love that you said that. And it's really what I find common in the work that we do, and you know, whether you're listening to this and you're a coach or not, like you probably have some extent of personal development under your belt, whether you've read a lot of self-help books, you listen to a lot of podcasts, you've been to workshops, you're best friends with Tony Robbins, I don't know, but there's probably a part of you that's like every once in a while that thinks, I should be past this by now, didn't I already work on that? Like that's what my inner critic says a lot. Do you find that's the case with you too, Katie?
Yes. Yes, and I love the phrase, I've heard it many times, is don't go shooting all over yourself.
I love that. Yeah. I know it's messy and gross. So I know also that, like you were mentioning, like that much of your practice is around the topic of perfectionism. So can you tell us in your life and in the past and maybe even the present, like how has it gotten in the way of how you live your life?
Well, actually, this is a great kind of segue into one of the biggest things that it kind of got in the way in my recent-ish life was with my business. Mm-hmm. When I started off coaching, I set up a coaching business, and I created this business based on what I thought coaching should, big air quotes here that you can't see, should look mm-hmm. like. and what I thought other people would want it to be. So it wasn't about, it wasn't connected to me authentically. It was removed. And so I got an office space. I was doing one-to-one work, and I had, you know, this kind of realization. I was like, this isn't working for me. And about probably around December last year, I just decided to completely scrap everything that I had from my business, rebrand, and redefine what it was going to be about. And so taking off this, you know, this level of trying to do something for others, there's that sense of external validation that comes with perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And feeling like I have to get it just right. There's a certain way it should be done. And throwing that away and then just really getting in touch with who I am and what I have to offer and how I want to appear or how I want to show up in my business. And so that was when I, you know, decided, you know what, I want to do group work. I have an extensive art background. I want to use creativity. I have a movement background. I want to use movement in my work. I, you know, shifted from a focus of individual work to more of a focus of group work with some individual clients still, and, you know, really changed the focus of my work is authenticity, creativity, and movement.
Wow. So it sounds like there was a little bit of people pleasing going on over there too.
Oh, for sure.
You're like, no, I don't deal with that at all, Andrea.
Yes.
Yeah. Both? I totally definitely get it. So where do you think perfectionism shows up a lot for your clients?
I think one of the, if you look at perfectionist behaviors, they often fall into two categories, like doing perfectionism behaviors and avoiding perfectionism behaviors. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people sometimes just jump to the doing, like, oh, I'm doing work and I'm going to check it like 12 times before I hand in this paper to my boss. But one of the things that I see come up a huge amount in my clients is actually the avoiding behavior as a perfectionist behavior. Because often perfectionists have a fear that they won't be able to reach their high standards. Mm-hmm. So instead of even trying, they're too, you know, there's that element of being too afraid of failure to even try. So why start if I'm going to fail? Mm-hmm. And so there's a big connection I find with perfectionism and procrastination.
Yes.
So
twin sisters.
Yes. So that's something that I've really noticed in my client population is the avoiding behaviors are huge.
Mm-hmm. I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're aiming more of a, we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, Mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free. free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Yeah, I see that a lot too. And, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening are nodding their head. And I've told this story before. When I was, you know, I played tennis since I was 3 years old. And, you know, I took group lessons, private lessons, you know, and if I wasn't in lessons, my dad was coaching me because he was a USPTA pro. And I grew up on the tennis court, like learned to ride my bike there. I mean, everything. And I was 13 or 14, and it was time to try out for the freshman tennis team in high school. And I remember my dad dropped me off, and like I told him, like, I can't have you there. You know, don't go hide behind the tree, which I know you're going to do anyway. So he did leave. He dropped me off. And I remember standing there and looking through the chain link fence. And I mean, I can almost smell the tennis balls. Like, it's so vivid. And I remember watching the other girls and so paralyzed with fear that I would, you know, like my tennis career flashed before my eyes, you know, like, what if I lose a tournament? What if I am not the best one on the team? All of those things, which are inevitable, you know, it's just life. And I was so afraid that I went to the payphone and called my dad to have him come pick me up. And I never picked up a tennis racket, like, for like 10 years. And it breaks my heart that I was so caught up in perfectionism. And I think for me, that, and I know that this is true for a lot of people, that there is both that paralyzing fear of failure, but there is also that huge fear of success.
Yes.
What if I make it and I'm going to be out there in front of everybody? And then there's going to be the people that say, who does she think she is? What does she think? She's hot shit on the tennis team? Or like, how am I going to sustain this? What if I win that tournament and then I have to go to nationals? Like, that's the type of thinking that we get into. And it's like, it all comes down to vulnerability and this huge risk. And it is way, we make up that it's just not worth it. It's too painful.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah. Debbie Downer. But no, this is like a real thing. And how do we get past that? You know, like, what is the solution? And, you know, Katie and I talked about it a little bit before. You know, talking about it is one. That's my goal in life. I'm not going to stop talking about it until I take my last breath. But what are some of your go-to tools for combating perfectionism?
So one thing that I, you know, encourage clients to do is to find something that they can be a beginner at. And that is often a struggle for, you know, it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you start something new, you want to be, you know, if there's, you know, there's an element of healthy striving of wanting to be good and wanting to succeed. But also it's going to push, you know, that little bit of discomfort. And if there's something that you can try to be a beginner at, you know, maybe not super close to the vest, but, you know, for example, earlier this year, I started ice skating. Mm-hmm. And I really don't care if I end up falling on my butt a million times with that. So I'm okay at being a beginner. Whereas if all of a sudden you asked me to, you know, start performing in vocal competitions, that's a little bit closer to my vest, might not be the best place for me to start. But start somewhere where you can get into the practice of just getting out there and trying. And then at the root, as we mentioned earlier, of perfectionism is shame. So shame work is a great piece. And obviously, as we keep coming back to the Daring Way, is shame resiliency. And looking at that, understanding where these messages are coming from, and how they show up for us, you know, what triggers, identifying those trigger areas. And then, you know, self-compassion, that's huge. That piece of having the ability to, you know, to love ourselves.
Yeah.
And accept who we are and what we bring to the table, saying, this is me. I don't have to be this other thing that I'm trying to put on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I talk about perfectionism as this mask that you're going to put on to try and, you know, I think of this like porcelain doll mask that's, you know, completely smooth and shows no lines, no wrinkles. And that's not real. You have to be able to drop that down and say, this is who I am, and accept that and hold that, hold space for ourselves.
Oh, you're such a coach, holding space. I love it. Well, and I love that you mentioned self-compassion in there too. And that really points back to permission slips, you know, like see how we went full circle, everybody. That's part of it. And, you know, I, of course we can't wrap it all up with a pretty bow in 35 minutes, but, I love those tools and I 1000% agree with all of them. And, you know, when you were talking about it in the beginning and what made me think of it is like, I love that assignment, you know, like having somebody go out and be a beginner at something. I've given that assignment out to clients before. And like, for instance, this one client, she loved Pinterest. And I'm like, okay, I want you to go on Pinterest and find some like amazing, ridiculously extravagant cake or some kind of craft. And I want you to get a C minus. And she was like, oh my God, that's going to be hard. You know, like it's just like, be good enough. Just, and you don't have to nail it every single time and cause yourself anxiety. And that's really uncomfortable for a lot of people. And
perfectionists, is.
Like we tend to, well, I mean, not even just perfectionists, but like, I think smart, high achieving women, which are all of the women that listen to my podcast, they have dichotomous thinking. They think in black or white. You know, either I am Nancy Kerrigan ice skater or I am terrible. You know, like either I find the perfect tank top.
No in between.
I'm a loser. Yeah, there's no gray area. And so I even still have a hard time with the gray area. And it's just my inner critic goes bananas. So it's one of those exercises like – first, find out what the gray area is for you. Find out what your good enough is. Because, like, let's be honest, you guys, your C minus is most people's A.
And I think, you know, that letting go piece, that's a practice, you know?
Girl, don't I know it.
Letting go and just saying, this is good enough. And that is okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, in one of my workshops, I have an art exercise, actually, I love this one, where I have people start working on this art piece, and I don't give them a lot of, you know, what's coming next. And so they start working on it, they get attached, they're working and, you know, doing little details, starting to, I hate to use the word perfect it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I make them pass it to their left around the circle, and they get someone else's piece. And so they have to let go of the outcome.
Oh,
they,
my God.
They no longer can see what's going to happen with their piece. It's still their piece, but now someone else has it. And then it goes on and people add different pieces to it. And it's challenging to let that go and say, you know what? I did what I could with it, and now it's gone. It's out there in the world.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good one. I've never heard of that one before. That would be uncomfortable, I think, for everyone. Well, I love this conversation and I could talk about this all day long, and thank you so much for your wisdom and insight. And tell everyone where's the best way they can find you and learn more about you and follow you.
So the best way to find me is at my website. It's Katie Thies, KatieThies.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest as well. But the website's
posting your perfect cakes, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh, I love that. The C plus cakes. I am stealing that.
Well, and any links you guys hear in this episode are at yourkickasslife.com/41. The links to Katie's social media contacts and her website. Are there. I encourage you to go read that great blog post that she wrote about her black tank top. I love that you were like sweating and
it's hard work putting on that many tank tops in a day.
Perfectionism is hard work.
It is.
Thank you so much for being here. And Ask Kickers, if you don't already know, my book is on sale right now. It is holiday season and It is $14 for U.S. shipping, and that includes personalized signature with a little love note from me. So you can get that at yourkickasslife.com/52ways. And please, as always, if you listen to my podcast and you like it, please leave a review and rating on iTunes. That helps other people find my podcast and keeps me in a job. So that's great. Thank you so much again, Katie, for being here. And I will see you all next time for episode 42. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.